Joanne?
Who?
Joanne Morgenthaler.
Okay. All right, we're back in. Okay, we are back in session.
Actually, we had that good food at the Good Apple Awards.
Yeah, one time, didn't we?
Roy is hungry.
I can hear.
You need to operate that, or are you good?
Hold on, real quick. We need to adopt
our agenda. Okay. Snack bar did nothing.
All right. There's a couple of quick corrections on the agenda.
Okay.
The ESL tutor on item 16G is not being paid out of auxiliary funds. That is being paid out of our general fund. So if you would kindly change auxiliary to general.
Probably Acts 4-1, too. Ohio High Point
report. Oh, okay. So we'll take the Ohio High Point report off, then.
Which one?
4-1. Change this one to general fund, G. Okay. Did you need one, Tracy?
I think there was one.
Here.
But I have my...
I have it. I have it.
No, here it is. I was using the one I printed out from home.
Okay.
Her printer at home omits things.
Well, no, it was on 15 instead of 16, so apparently I'm missing something.
And then on item 21, if you go to the classified on the left-hand column, Lynn Baumgartner, cross her off. And then down below on the certified, add Jennifer Gingras, G-I-N-G-R-A-S.
Yeah, where's the
right, add there. Jennifer Gingras and cross her off.
I thought you said on the right column.
Oh, that's it. I'm at the left column. That's it. I can go back to the tape.
You're on the right.
Yeah, please. I mean, you can rewind now. We can play.
And go ahead.
We'd probably never go back.
Who do
on
we
again.
Add?
Okay. We're adding
Jennifer.
We have proven there are more horses. And there are horses.
G-I-N-G-R-I-S.
All right, so you got somebody.
Okay, does everybody have all those modifications?
I believe so.
If there's no other comments, questions, additions, or whatever, I need a motion to adopt the agenda, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Flanagan.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Navy.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carried. Okay.
Now, you're time to tap dance. Well, a couple months ago, you asked for an update for food and nutrition department, and so we decided to do this. Joanne's she's done a marvelous job for us, and also for Fairbanks, but Fairbanks is out on their own right at the moment. So
there you
are. So we jump started them, and that was a good project a year ago, although we went in thinking that, wow, do we really want to do this? But I think it worked out
very well
for everybody. So they're happy.
Well, I want to thank you for letting me come and speak with you tonight about one of my favorite topics, which is school lunch. I'm going to pass around copies of our color menu. I'll leave the magnet version of it here for you to look at. I only brought one of those. It's really quite nice.
Just don't put it near our recorder, or I'm sure it'll write something on there.
I'll just shut it off.
So we're going to talk a little bit tonight about school lunch and where we've been and where we're going. Talking about the keys to our success that we've had in the last 18 to 24 months. We've had a significant turnaround, and we're real thrilled about that. We've increased our meal participation. That's a big part of where we're at now. That equates to additional federal reimbursement dollars. More meals, more dollars. We reduced our food and supply expenditure significantly. And we'll talk a little bit about how we did that. And we've been able to maintain our labor, which is significant considering food and supply costs are going up, labor costs and benefit costs are going up, and we've been able to hold the labor and benefit and reduce our supply and food costs. How did we do it? Well, we kind of targeted four areas. Our first one was improved menu selection. We've added additional choices at the secondary levels. We focused on the most popular menu selections. The cycle menu you see in front of you has been a big key factor to that. We primarily chose the top 15 key items that brought the sales into the cafeterias and did those in a kind of a random selection and repeated those. The cycle menu works really well for a multitude of reasons. Production-wise, we get some real history for purchasing and for inventory and waste control when you repeat the menu over and over again. It's a five-week cycle, so most of the items only appear eight times during the entire school year, so it's not a lot of repetition. It does have two cook's choices built into that, so it does allow us to plug in some other varieties and personal selections at the individual school sites that students seem to like. And like I said, that's really helped us control waste and plan our inventory. More self-serve options. This has been a big key factor for us. We find particularly at the secondary level when the students have more opportunity to serve themselves or to add additional toppings and customize their sandwich or their burrito or their taco bowl or whatever, they're much more into it. And we serve more meals. Marketing. Again, one of the key factors is that menu that I showed you there, that's been a big marketing tool for us. The parents absolutely love it. It's our second year with that cycle menu and that magnet. We started theme days this past year. We had a chef in, a visiting chef, and we did a big burrito day at the high school. We do other theme days at the elementary around beach days, a western theme day, and that seems to draw in more students too. And then we decreased our a la carte sales. We really focused on the kids buying the entire meal from us that generated us that additional revenue in federal dollars and commodity entitlement. So, you know, we're really encouraging the kids to buy the whole milk that includes all five of the food groups and kind of forcing them. We make that the better value for them, and we market it that way as opposed to a la carte sales. And we'll go on to show you why that's a key factor.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
I know we were talking a little bit about it before, like the elementary, they do a self-serve where the kids kind of go up there.
At Northwood?
Right. Is that the only school we do that at?
We do it at Raymond. It's limited. All their side dishes are self-serve at Raymond, but their main entree is put on the tray.
How do you ensure those kids get what would qualify as a nutritional lunch or, you know, their two vegetables or proteins or whatever?
One of the three food service staff members actually floats around the line, and we have portioned ladles, number one.
Right.
And we tell the kids they have to have the whole ladle full.
Uh-huh.
If they exceed it, we're okay with that. Those are primarily fruits and vegetables that they're getting there, and that never hurts to get more fruits and vegetables.
Absolutely.
And if they don't, we kind of send them back down the line and say, you know, Tommy, we got to get a little more of the peaches or whatever. And
is that typically a lot of work to do? Or?
No, actually it's not. It tends to be a little more cleanup. You know, they tend to be a little messier with it. But again, them getting to select their own choices,
mm-hmm.
They take more fruits and vegetables and more side dishes.
Great. Keep your hair longer, from what I understand.
You were laughing.
Like I was. I think it was a small spoon when I was in school.
It actually works really well. And just some of our other elementaries just do not have the space constraints to be able to outfit the serving lines. Northwood was designed very well.
I just thought that was kind of a neat thing they had over there.
So that
eat what you kill.
That magnet menu there, that goes home, or is that?
Every child gets one. It stays on the refrigerator for the entire year. The parents absolutely love it. It's got the school calendar at the bottom. The biggest drawback we saw to it was that my phone number is on there, which is fine. But that's the first phone number parents look for on late start days.
They're calling in absence.
So we get lots of phone calls, you know, saying, I'm reporting my child's absence, and they think because it came from their school that's pertinent to their school.
So you can just check one lunch off the list.
Yeah, that does help. But a snapshot. Last year, total number of breakfast served was 30,000. That increased by 7%. That averages out to, I did that up for you, 462. In 2008-09, it was 423. So we are seeing an increase in breakfast. We still have a lot of parents, serving their kids breakfast at home, and that's, you know, an area where we want to increase and we focus on. Total number of lunches, 475,000 last year. That's a lot of lunches. That increased by 5% or 128. In 2008-09, that was 2675 per day. This year, that was 2831. So we are seeing significant numbers. We're up above the 50% district-wide, which is where we want to be. We'd like to see us getting into the low 60% across the board. I think it's a goal. The economy has, you know, obviously hurt that a little bit. A lot more parents are opting to pack just for economic reasons.
I know you probably have this data, but of those lunches, what has it been with the reduced and, yeah, the regular?
Our reduced percentages, I did those for you too.
Yeah, you probably have on another slide, don't you?
Actually, I didn't do the free reduced percentages up there for you, but 2008-09, we were at 22.47% district-wide free reduced percentages. This past year, in 2009-10, we were at 26%.
Wow.
So we saw a lot more families qualifying, and we see already this year, prior to the start of school, a big increase in the applications that we received this time last year. So we're expecting another increase this year. Mm-hmm. And again, I think the economy's playing a lot into that. There's a lot more families that qualify.
Do we actively seek out those families?
We do.
How so?
All of them receive a letter.
Yeah, we do a mass mailing to every household of the application. We also are at every open house, you know, and we have to do a public release in the newspaper of that. Mm-hmm. And we also look to the teachers and the guidance counselors and the principals to kind of fill in that gap for us and maybe help us identify some families that aren't utilizing the program that might be eligible. There's a couple of reasons for that. I mean, if a family qualifies for the federal free and reduced program, even if they never utilize the school lunch program, it has our district numbers higher. That plays into various other rates within the district and various other federal funding components. Yes.
Oh.
So it's very advantageous to, even if they're not going to utilize the program, to get them if they're eligible to sign up for it.
Gotcha.
Just for the additional federal dollars it brings into other programs in the district.
So that could be part of the reason for the increase of number of lunches served then?
Some of it is that more kids are qualifying. You know, we like to think it's the good meals we're serving.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah. When we talk about, you know, 128 meals, you know, that works out to about 18 meals a day per building. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you look at it, a few meals adds up fast. We take the 150 lunches, which was this past year, times the 285, that's 400, you know, you can see that. We multiply that out times the 170 service days that we had last year. And then we look at the federal reimbursement. Every time we serve a reimbursable meal that meets those nutritional components set forth by the USDA, the government in turn gives us an additional 26 cents on a meal. Okay, so now we earn an additional 26 cents on top of our 285. And when we look at that over 170 days, there's another little chunk of change for us. And then we look at commodity entitlement. So the government says every time you sell one of those reimbursable meals that meets all the nutritional component, we're going to bank 22 cents into what I like to call a monopoly fund, because it's not actual physical cash that we see, but it is commodity entitlement dollars that we can then in turn buy commodity foods for the next year. So you actually do earn 22 cents value worth of commodity foods. So when you look at that extended over the 170 days, there's another $5,000, for a whopping total. So a few meals really can add up pretty fast to the bottom line. So this is one of the reasons we really focus on kids buying the full lunch tray that meets all those nutritional components. Number one, it's healthier for them. And number two, it benefits us financially.
Now, that 150 is per school, correct? Is that what that average is?
That was total district-wide.
She was just talking about that. That's your average per school. Is that what
no,
she
was talking about the delta.
That was an increase in 1 year.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I lost that.
Showing you what the increase.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
That's what the title meant. I'm with you.
Yeah.
But the dollar amount you use is $285.
Well, that's the high school. That's the intermediate, middle, and high school lunch price. So it would be $2.60 at the elementary. It would be slightly less. You know, I just used the high school meal price. The bulk of our increases in meals sold came at the high school. Okay.
That's good. Yeah.
So again, the more meals you sell, you see an increase in federal and state reimbursement dollars. And you can see where we were at in 2007 and 8 and all the way up to 2009, 10. This is a significant jump. And again, some of this is due to the economy. We had more parents eligible for free and reduced meals, and they utilized them. Some of this, though, was largely attributed to the decrease of a la carte sales and shifting kids towards the plate lunch instead of buying snacks with their money. And, you know, encouraging them to buy the full tray meal that got us those additional commodity and federal dollars. It all plays a part. Controlling costs. Staff involvement in education. This was kind of a big piece for us, was getting staff buy-in to some of the changes we felt like we needed to make to move forward. The staff didn't fully understand the funding of our department, so we did a lot of staff training and education on explaining to them where our funds come from, and how that whole commodity and federal dollars played into it. We had to identify our actual food cost and supply. That was a little tricky. When I first got here, we didn't really know what we were spending per meal. You know, we saw bills come in for various products, but nobody had actually sat down with them and said, how much can we afford to spend to put the lunch tray together and break even financially? And so we worked on that and helped them learn how to cost out an actual meal. You know, some of the things that were occurring was, I liken it to the Dole fruit cups that many of you probably purchase at home, and I do too. I love the wonderful little fruit cups. We were purchasing those Dole or Del Monte, wonderful little logos, labels. They were 50 cents a unit. We can make them in-house with canned commodity peaches, pineapple, pears, the very same thing in the same little cup and the same little lid. Doesn't have Dole or Del Monte written on it for 18 cents. That's a huge gap there.
Is that including the labor?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So, when I got here and we looked at the finances and knew we were, you know, not doing well, and we had to look at where we could start to trim things, that was, you know, some of the areas we went back and looked at as things that we could duplicate in-house much cheaper than we were buying branded products. So, we work on a 45% food cost, and there's a pie chart coming up that I'll show you this. We use the competitive bid processes for food purchases. That wasn't being done very regularly in the past. It was pretty much whatever I liked. Sometimes I went shopping for it. We utilize the NEC bid. Those products are locked in for an entire year. They can't go up on us. So that allows us to build our menus, cost them out, and know we're staying within our parameters for the entire school year. So that's been a big key factor for there. And we use our labor hours more efficiently. The ladies in the cafeteria now get an efficiency report every month that tells them how they're doing. It's meals per labor hour. And we actually break down how many breakfast and lunch and a la carte sales they have, and we actually forecast that out and show them how many meals they're producing per labor hour in each cafeteria. So they can, and they get to see last year's compared to this year, so they can kind of see how they're doing. And we have a targeted area that we would like to be our minimum meals per labor hour. And it also, this gives us a real good gauge to look at when a cafeteria is exceeding, and we might need to look at adding additional labor hours. You know, you can kind of see the numbers and say, ooh, this cafeteria is, you know, almost 10 meals per labor hour ahead of other cafeterias. You know, we might need to look at adding additional hours. Or it also works the other way, too, that we might need to look at relocating hours to another building. This is the breakdown I was telling you about. The targeted area, this comes from the National School Food Service Management Institute. And this is, there is actually a management institute that does a lot of training and in-service programs for us. And this is their targeted pie for an efficient operation for school food services. And we exceed all of those areas. Labor, we are at 37% as opposed to their 38. Actually, I think that was food cost, I'm sorry. The labor and benefits, we're 48, they're 52. They have 8% in purchase services or other costs. This would be repair, maintenance, trash, collection, various things like that. And they have 2% going back into the fund balance. This past year, we were able to put 11% back into the fund balance. Can't say that that's going to occur every year. We have some older buildings and older equipment we're assessing right now that are going to need to be replaced and upgraded and such. But it's kind of where we stand compared to a national targeted breakdown there. Again, if you look from 2008 to 2010, we've been able to reduce our food and supply expenditures by $130,000. We've reduced labor and benefit costs by $100,000. Now, some of that labor and benefit cost was the retirement of an assistant supervisor within our office. It was not replaced. So, you know, that some of those savings came as a result of streamlining our office operations. And I wanted to put this in here for you for commodity entitlement. A lot of people don't understand exactly what that is. As I told you a little bit earlier, every time we sell one of those plate lunches, if you will, that contains all five of the food groups, the USDA has set up a program that banks dollars for us to use. And we get to go out and purchase commodity food items with those dollars. You can see what it works out to us. Our 471,000 meals at the 22-cent rate this year will net us $103,000 this year to use. Now, this allows us to go out and buy food products that otherwise we would be out spending our own money for. So this has been a big savings to us.
So that's your monopoly money?
This is my monopoly money. And monopoly money can really make or break food service departments, how effectively it's used. In the past, we weren't using ours as effectively as we could. And we've really restructured this in the last 2 years. We now are in something called the DOD. That is the Department of Defense. Don't ask me why the USDA and the Department of Defense run produce.
Careful
with
pineapple.
But
be careful what you bite into.
Yeah, the DOD stands for Department of Defense, and they have a national produce program that allows us to use this entitlement dollars or monopoly money to procure produce. We were fortunate enough to get a spot on that program. It's very limited within the state of Ohio. About a year ago, I heard that Newark City Schools had given up their spot on the program. So I made a few phone calls, called in a few markers, and said, we'd like to have that spot in Arizona. And we were granted that spot. Last year, they allowed us to put $25,000 of our money in there to purchase produce. This year, they've allowed us to put $30,000 of our money. So in 2008, we spent $56,000 with a local produce company. Last year, we spent $5,000 out of pocket, in addition to our $25,000 of monopoly money. And this year, hopefully, we will spend no money out of pocket. Our $30,000, we're hoping, will carry us through at least till spring break. It's a wonderful program. It does have a few glitches. The girls have to order about 10 days in advance. Makes the head cooks plan a little further out, which is not a bad thing. And all the produce has to be grown domestically within the U.S. So you can get nothing from Chile or anywhere like that, from Mexico or anything. So bananas, we don't get bananas. We have to buy our bananas. Grapes, certain time of the year, are not available through this program, depending on whether they're coming from outside the U.S. But the bulk of our lettuce, our tomatoes, all of our fresh vegetables, apples, oranges, strawberries, watermelon, cantaloupe, all those prices are very good right now, and we're buying.
Do we buy from any local producers?
We actually don't now. Person that has this program, they have a contract with them. They're called DNO, and they're out of Columbus. Mm-hmm. And they service the three-state area with this Department of Defense contract. So when we do run out of these funds and have to go to purchasing, we do go to local suppliers. But this has been a real effective way to utilize these commodity dollars. You can see there, we've already pre-committed to sending, we purchased 13,000 pounds of cheese, and we sent this to processors already this year. We purchased the cheese at $1.54 a pound. They returned that cheese to us at $1.65 a pound, off our bill, on our pizza, and our cheesy breadsticks, and various other products. So this is actually earning us additional dollars. So we send the mozzarella down to them, and every time we purchase pizza from them, the government mozzarella cheese is on that pizza. And it brings the cost down about 15 cents a serving of the pizza. So it's a substantial savings. And then the remaining 50,000 or so there will be used to monthly orders of beef, chicken, cheese, canned fruits, and vegetables. The state puts out a shopping list, if you will, every month, and we go shopping. So that's kind of how we use the monopoly money, as I call it, for lack of a better term. And a real effective use of this, again, if we didn't do this, all those numbers you see, we would be spending out of pocket to purchase it from a local supplier. So that's a huge savings to us there.
When you got here, how much of that money was actually being spent?
Well,
honestly,
they were spending it. They had a lot of carryover every year, and that's a big twitch to me, if you will, because when you don't spend it, it means you've spent
out of pocket
somewhere. Yeah. The problem was they weren't using it as effectively as they could. They were buying a lot of non-entree items with their commodity dollars. Now we focus on center of the plate, our most expensive item. So it's just a little shift in how we purchase and where our focus is.
We have a lot of green beans.
Yeah, when I came in, I found just cases of green beans and applesauce and lots of stuff that they thought it was a good price, and they bought it all up, and then they found out they couldn't even get rid of that much of it. And so it's just a little shift in how we utilize the money. Like I said, the commodity produce program has been great, and being able to send product to processors. So this is kind of our revenue and expenses for the last couple of years. You can see that. You guys have seen that in the reports that come along. In 2008-09, we did have a little bit of an advance from the previous year we had to pay back. So we got that paid back and got ourselves in a pretty good financial position. And then this last year was another good year for us. The produce kicked in this past year, and the processing of the cheese, and all of those commitments have to be made about a year out. So this has been kind of a two-year process, and we really saw the rewards of that this past year. Department balance. This is kind of where we've been, and where we're going now. I don't want you to get too happy about that number on the end there.
As long as it stays above that bar, we'll be all right.
Okay, because it's down significantly now. Cindy can tell you, July had three payroll periods, and that tacked us for about $100,000 to make our payroll and our food costs. And then, of course, here in August, we've had major startup costs. The food trucks were all over the district today to the tune of about $50,000 for that initial first week startup. It's a biggie, trying to get all your paper supplies and stuff back in. So that's down significantly right now. I want you to be happy, but what's next for our department? Customer service. This is an area we just spent 2 hours this past week at a customer service presentation. It's an area I want to focus on. We haven't always viewed kids as customers per se. We've kind of looked at them as a captive audience. They kind of have to be here. They have choices. So we're working on our customer service and treating them as if how they expect to and how you would expect to be treated out in a restaurant somewhere locally. And so that's going to be a big focus for this year. Nutrition education in the classroom. We're doing more with several local organizations with grants. We've been working with the hospital on a nutrition education grant where we're going to the classroom and we're promoting consumption of fresh fruits and vegetables. We've been working with parents at Raymond in evening classes, promoting nutrition education there, where we actually build a meal and they cook a meal. So that's an area we want to kind of continue to work on and hope to get the opportunity to go into the classroom more often with kids, have them see us in a little different light, you know, as opposed to just the ladies behind the food service counter. Color coding snacks and healthy eating. You heard it in the news and a lot last year. There's a lot of movement underway both at the federal and at the state level to revise the school lunch program and to continue cutting what they perceive as the fat out. What a lot of people don't understand is we're already governed pretty strictly. The pizza that you see in our school lunch line is not the same pizza you purchase in the grocery store. Our pizza already has to meet very stringent child nutrition standards. Most of it already has a whole grain, whole wheat crust. Some of it's vitamin fortified. It has low-fat cheese. You know, hence sometimes we hear from the kids, well, that's not like my pizza at home. Well, that's true to a certain extent. We're required to be 30% less fat from calories. We're required to be low sodium. We are audited on this. People from the State Department come in. We had a nutritional analysis done on our menus from the State Department of Education a little over a year ago. And we were slightly high in sodium, and we've gotten that back down where it needed to be. But we were well under the 30% fat from calories. And but we're working on color coding our snacks.
Well, how the legislation that passed in May, that healthy
House
kids,
Bill, yeah.
Yeah, Senate Bill 210, how is that going to affect what you offer?
Well, it's going to affect drinks primarily. Yeah, you know, it was largely called the vending bill because it really worked on vending machines and snacks. In our cafeterias this year, you're going to see a lot more baked snacks and chips. You're going to see a lot smaller sizes. We just simply aren't offering those great big make. We're just not going to do it. No child needs it. And, you know, we don't need to contribute to it. Like I said, for most of the items, we were already under the calorie and the nutrition guidelines that we needed to be. The beverages is what they really kind of went after. We are implementing that. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that, you know, we're all the way there because we're not. At the high school this year in particular, we're easing them in. We've taken French fries an additional day away from them. Wait till tomorrow.
French fries are only served
3 days a week there, and they're baked. You know, as opposed to when I got here, it was 5 days a week. High school kids had French fries, no more. We took one day away last year, taking another away this year. Like I said, we've taken the big bags of chips and stuff. We've gone to much smaller baked chips. We took the giant bottles of Gatorade away from them. They have Gatorade. It's actually G2, which is even lower calorie, and it's a much smaller bottle. We sell lots of water, flavored water, which all of this meets House Bill 210's guidelines.
Now, does it prohibit juice?
It doesn't prohibit juice if it has a natural sweetener. If it has any additional sweeteners or additives, then you cannot sell it. But we're working on color coding the snacks, primarily like a traffic light, red, green, and yellow. You know, green is good, red is, you know, less occasionally you should be having those. And that's more of a marketing and just educating kids. You know, the media, you know, they see Sun Chips and think, well, that's got to be good for me. It's not always necessarily true, and kids aren't typically fond of reading the labels on the back. So anything we can do to kind of encourage them to healthier things. The DOD program, again, more fresh fruits and vegetables. We're going to continue to look at expanding that. We have found if we put it there, they will eat it. We bought orange wedgers last year that just wedges oranges, and we found that we can sell tons of oranges if they're wedged up. If we try to sell them whole, not very many oranges move.
That's a lot of work, man.
Yeah. So we're looking at a lot more ways to present fresh fruit and vegetables to them. We find, again, at the high school and the middle school, if we put out the vegetables, even hot vegetables, and we allow them to serve themselves, we'll serve lots more than if we cup it up for them. So we're doing a lot of, you know, those things to promote the fresh fruits and vegetables. Renovations and new equipment. This is our next focus. You know, we have a couple of older cafeterias that we're looking at trying to renovate and get some new service line equipment in.
Where would that be at?
Edgewood is my, you know, big target right now. Her serving line is very old and not working very well. It's kind of on, off. There's kind of no in between. So that's kind of a wish list. And
yeah, it's a tough area.
Yes. And obviously, you know, whatever proceeds down with, you know, new development or buildings or renovations. Some new equipment. We have some old freezers out there and some old pieces of equipment that are, we're spending to try to maintain, and maybe it's time to start a three to five year plan on replacement, just cycling them out. They're not as efficient energy-wise as they could be. So, and technology upgrades. We spent some time this summer and put in a new free and reduced program in our office, an upgrade technology-wise. Had a few glitches earlier today, but all is well for the moment. It's going to help us manage the free and reduced programs and the applications a little faster. We had a pretty cumbersome manual process, and this new system is going to allow us to turn those applications around a lot faster and also have better access to reports for principals and various other people that need that information. So that's what I have for you.
I had a quick question. I know in years past, if we had a snow day, it seemed that one snow day would cripple the budget for the food service department. So what are you doing now that I mean, how do you handle those
Mills on wheels?
Snow cones.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You never had as many snow days. Yeah.
Snow cones.
Yeah, well, I know that, but nonetheless, I mean, that seems to be a huge
shift. It's still not so much what we're doing. It still costs us.
Right.
The loss of the federal funds, the loss of the physical cash coming through the cash registers, plus the expenditures of the staff who, you know, under contract, they are paid. It's about $12,000 to $13,000 a day. A hit that we take when there's a snow day. Mm-hmm. You know, again, that's just kind of something you have to build your budget
right.
with the expectation that that's going to happen. We don't like them. You know, we do our best to manage waste on those days. Mm-hmm. You know, typically the head cooks come in
so
and secure the food.
Five,
so we don't have something that's stalled and we lose over a weekend or things like that. And you know, like I said, you almost build in a buffer of about three of those days a year, just knowing it's going to occur.
Gotcha. All right. Anybody else have any questions?
It's just scheduling.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, just scheduling those snow days?
Yeah, we just got to get Larry on board and want to call him.
And the only other thing I did do was I did a little piece. I didn't get a chance to put it up on a slide for you. The USDA every year sets the price of what it costs roughly to produce a meal, labor and benefits nationally across the board. This year that was $2.72 was the average cost to produce a meal. Breakfast was $1.48. So when you look at our meal price, I know there has been some, you know, conversation about that, about our lunch prices here in the district, and I did a comparison with several other local school districts close by and where we are in comparison to that. You know, we're right in line with what the USDA is saying we're spending, roughly. You know, there are other districts that have lower meal prices than us. But when you look at that, primarily they're free and reduced then subsidize their full-pay students. You know, a lot of them don't quite equate that when they have a lower price than that $2.72 for their meal. They're actually, the free and reduced kids end up subsidizing the full pay kids. So, I'm comfortable with where our meal prices are at. I don't see us needing to raise our prices probably for at least the next couple of years. That shouldn't even be a discussion that we need to have. So.
Then we won't have it.
Yeah. Yes.
It's an ignorant question.
There's no, it's a complicated process.
Mine sometimes are. I'm assuming that there's some variance in terms of the actual cost of each of the meals that are offered on the
yes.
menu. How much of a swing is that in terms of
like I said,
average?
We work on that 45%. That's kind of our average gauge, which at a high school gives us about, if you look at our $2.85 price and 45% of that, I think that works out to like $1.25. Mm-hmm. We have meals that will go as low as a dollar.
Really?
I can tell you we have some of the really popular items that we do once a week that are going to drive us up to $1.30.
Yeah.
So we kind of balance that out. Mm-hmm. You know, we want the kids to have some of those higher quality whole muscle chicken breasts that they're familiar with at Wendy's, grilled chicken breasts, some really nice items. So we kind of do a balancing act between, right. you know, some lower and some high-end items.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, anybody else have any questions? All right, well,
I'd like to say just the measurements you've seen, this is a $2 million business. And Joanne has done a fantastic job here, just getting the basics back into the kitchen with these measurements, production records, controlling the overtime, because that really did kick our tail, and the training for the ladies. Use of commodity dollars and the use of technology versus coming in and saying, I need another headcount to do these graphs and all that. They have really done a great job and worked hard. These measurements, they're on top of them. They see things happening before they catch the trends and they make the adjustments. It's just been fantastic. Joanne and her team have just done a fantastic job. It's really been a big change for the food service.
And it is a team. Like I said, you know, we got them to buy in. They wanted to succeed. They were very receptive to everything I asked them to do. They cringed a little bit about having to make up 200 fruit cups. So I compromised. On Fridays, we get sherbet cups already done. Some other days we look, you know, so... But they were very receptive and wanted this department to turn around and succeed. So, you know, I couldn't have asked for a better opportunity and a better group of ladies to come in and work with. So, you know, everything I've asked of them, they've willingly done. Sometimes not always fully understanding it, but they're going along.
Well, clearly we asked you to come in because we wanted to see what you were doing. I mean, we read those board reports, and I think this board recognizes the change from... You know, from when you started to now, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate the work that you've done, and it really is nice to read those reports that you send and see that, you know, again, this year we're a little farther ahead than we were last year, and we're still providing, you know, the great service and the great meals for our kids. So we certainly appreciate all the hard work that you and your team have done.
And to budget, you know, what it does, you know, instead of having us budget $100,000 or $200,000 off to the side to subsidize, mm-hmm. that's $100,000, $200,000. You don't have to swing over there to budget and forecast.
I mean, so I got to tell you what, something as simple as that calendar, to me, is such a vast improvement, you know, improvement in community relations and everything else. I mean, although your phone number's on there. But I'm sure you probably
I'm going to call that number from now on.
We'll put your cell phone number on there.
No, it's all right.
But I got to tell you what, I mean, even just something simple as that, it just kind of brings everybody into the fold, you know, and I know a lot of our parents, I'm sure, appreciate that they know what's coming up and they can see what's happening.
We've had so many positive comments about the menu from teachers and from parents, and they want to know why we don't have it at the intermediate and middle yet, and we told them that's probably next year's project. We did have a few people question the cost of it last year when we introduced it, and we explained to them if we truly looked at the labor and the time we spent on a copy machine, copying and monthly, producing monthly menus, this was actually a savings.
Yeah.
So...
Absolutely.
And
we
the
ever
is too. It's on the website, and all the nutritionals are done for the year. So all the parents can go on and get all of their caloric counts, all of their carbohydrates, and everything. That's the other nice thing about the cycle menu. Once it's set, it doesn't change much, and parents become very accustomed. Those parents who have special needs and dietary needs, it's easy to keep that information updated for them.
Have we ever thought about putting on this calendar the no school days as well?
We could, yeah.
The no school days.
Yeah, I like
it. I'm assuming if there's not a color
spring
on that
break.
Day. If there's not a color on that day, doesn't mean we don't have school?
I don't know. Is it?
Is that what that means?
Would that be true?
Know, I'm thinking if there's not a color.
Yeah, like if I can't decide that.
Yeah, it means we're out of session for...
I didn't pick that up, but you're right, but... It would be nice if we could tell them that, I guess.
We can squeeze in.
Make them think about it.
No, I mean, really. I mean, but I mean, as you know, you talk about cost, but they, we send out the school calendar.
Yeah.
And here's another way of the
school. No, we don't.
We didn't this year. No.
But that would be another way if we send it out. I agree. I was just saying we don't send out the school calendar.
And did I tell you that Tracy and I haven't eaten yet tonight?
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I actually forgot I had coupons for each of you for a free meal in the cafeteria to join us.
Holy cow. I'd have cashed that baby in
tomorrow. I don't know. Yeah,
not after that description.
This morning and tomorrow morning are receiving apples and oranges and a coupon to join us in for lunch.
It was nothing like the first day of school heading out of the cafeteria and seeing everybody.
Hey, when I forget my lunch tomorrow, that's going to be great.
I appreciate it. That was great. That was very informative. Your
presentation. Well, thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you again, Joanne. All right. So now we've not doing the Ohio High Point Report. Public participation. Is there anybody that'd like to address the board? Besides Joanne, who's already been to the board.
Bless you.
Bless you. All right, then we're going to move right along then. I need a motion to approve the July 15th regular meeting minutes and the August 16th special meeting minutes.
I have not seen the August.
Yeah, I don't think they came in our packet, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I went back through mine today to see if I had missed them, and I couldn't find them in my packet.
I didn't see them in my hard packet either.
Okay. So it wasn't just me.
The 16th? So we're going to take that off then. And we're just going to approve the July 15th minutes then. So if everybody will cross that date off. So then I need a motion to accept the July 15th minutes of our last regular board meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Oh, moved and second. Roll call.
Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Meade.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Baker. Yes. Okay, motion carries. Next up, the Treasurer's Report.
You have the information on the expenditures for July and the summaries for the financial information. You should have received activity budgets and statements of purpose. I don't believe that you've received those in the past. This is one thing that I think is very important that you look through. Since
actually, I thought it was very interesting to read when you started reading their purposes and kind of some of the other stuff. I thought, oh, yeah. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It's very informative. Thank you.
And there's a new student activity at the high school, the Robotics Fund. They're working with Honda and having a robotics club. And then as we go through some of the changes in the types of funds and everything, we're moving the we'd like permission to move the Special Olympics from a trust fund to a student activity fund. So those are those items. And then also in your notes that I sent to you, you received the true cash days for the end of July. And then also some information on the number of checks and purchase orders that the staff in the treasurer's office have produced over last fiscal year there was a total of budgetary checks of over 4,800 payroll checks and direct deposit notices over 20,000 and then purchase orders there was 3,571 checks or purchase orders. So the ladies and Dan that was in there at that time, they put a lot of paper goes through that office on running the school district and the budget and keeping the fiscal process, and they do an excellent job, excellent group of people there. And we're still working on coding changes based on House Bill 1 and all the stats that we have to do. So but that's my report.
Can I have any questions, comments?
I had a couple of questions that I meant to email that I did not. Some of the technologies things that like the live technologies, do you happen to recall what
you're talking in the check register?
Yes. I'm sorry. The check register.
As far as what live technologies is,
yeah,
I think it's a program and I can't remember where it's from.
Well, live tech does speakers, those kinds of improvements. Cafeteria in the new in our current commons at the high school. We weren't getting any, we weren't getting all the announcements and the emergency statements down there, so we had to improve that area in order to get the emergency procedures and notifications into that area. Something happened during construction. We could never let it down. What we were getting were just garbled messages, and we were scared that eventually we were going to probably need some kind of special instructions down there. So Live Tech did an update in that area. If you go into that area, it's vastly improved.
Are they out of Columbus?
They're out of Columbus. They are. Grandview, I think. Grandview Heights.
Did you have another question?
No. I had just a question.
Okay, sure.
Does Ashland University, why do we... I saw that on there for like $23,000, and I was just curious as to what we...
Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell exactly.
Would it be better if I just shot an email to on this stuff?
Yes, it would.
I'm sorry. I was
looking at the treasurer right
now. There's a lot of checks that go through there.
Normally it's one or two, and today I was going through and I was like, oh, it's so late, but I will do that. I'll shoot an email out. There's several.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
It's more curiosity of just understanding and having a better feel for
it. It's probably some program that they were putting on for professional development type program.
Okay. I'll do that.
All right, was there any other questions? No? Okay.
All right.
Stop that. I need a motion to accept items A through E of the Treasurer's Report, please. Anybody at all?
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Brady.
Yes.
Mr. Freuder.
Yes.
Mr. Freaker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. And for the record, Robin Wright has the nicest handwriting of anybody I have ever seen in my life. So I'd say that. As I read it, I read that and I was like, wow. All right. Mr. Zimmerman, item 8.
Item 8, approve a student insurance vendor. We provide student accident and health insurance as just an optional service to folks. I'm not sure a lot of folks participate in that anymore, but we do provide it there. There's no benefit for us one way or the other. It just provides parents an option. We used to get a lot of participation, doesn't it?
I think they said they had 5 last year, at the most.
So moved.
Second.
Moving second. Roll call, please. Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freaker.
Yes.
Mr. Freaker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carried.
Item 9, accept a bid for a wheelchair-compliant van. A couple months ago, we took had the bid process, and we did competitively bid that, and the base bid recommended price was $40,900 less the rebate of I think there's $2,000 on the rebates. MC Mobility Systems out of Columbus. It's wheelchair compliant minivan, and this is paid for through stimulus.
Those are those specific funds we had to use for.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Is that typically like a lowest bid, or is
it's the lowest bid? It would, and again, you can accept the lowest and best, but in this case, it was the lowest.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second.
Mr. Freud.
No, Mr. Freud.
Mr. Freud.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freaker.
Yes.
You haven't solved them both.
Mrs. Freer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 10, district bus routes and stops. Each year we recommend that and it's required that the Board of Education approve the district bus stops and routes for the current school year. They start running tomorrow, so you have all those routes were submitted to you.
Drove them all over the weekend. I think that's AOTD.
You drove them all.
Drove them all.
The buses
had a couple people looking at me a couple times, but because I had to go back and then in the afternoon.
You stopped.
Yeah, really.
You were the star.
Time was so
exactly. Yeah, he was the star.
Exactly.
They were out running variety.
Yeah, it's all right there. Yeah. Now, I got a question. If we have to approve the routes,
if they modify,
yeah, why don't we have to? I don't want to. Yeah. I'm just saying. Or if we add a new route.
If you add a new route, we'll come back to you.
Okay. But modifying
them? If we tweak them a little. I mean, if it's a major one, we'll come back.
Okay.
We're tweaking them a little bit.
Because I don't remember ever approving any.
We haven't really had any major tweaks. I'll let you know tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I just wish everybody would just tell you. That's the biggest thing, is where they are and what. We just had an awful lot of changes of where kids are and who's picking them up. And
it's always kind of a crapshoot that first day, because you never really know quite how many kids you're going to get, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not really crapshoot.
Today we're at 54-1. That's where we were as of today.
Wow. Well, it's nice this year to have all of this stuff going on at the schools last week.
Yeah.
As opposed to
couple of days. If we hadn't gotten the waiver days, it would have been a weird opening, because we would have opened with kids on Friday. Mm-hmm. Because the waiver days gave us Monday and Monday. That gave our open houses a little bit of flex.
It was so much nicer.
Exactly. But if we hadn't gotten those waiver days, it would have been, you know, if the kids would have come back for one day, it would have been kind of weird. But it worked out for us. So we're happy.
So what is your bus number, Jeff?
One.
Your bus number one?
Your bus one.
Bus one. is appropriate.
Without question.
IQ. Is that your IQ?
Yeah, that too.
Bo Derek was a 10 and you're a 1.
That's number one. That's it. That's how that scale goes. All right, I need a motion to accept those if there are no more witty comments about this.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Laster.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Item 11 are revisions and updates of staff handbooks. Creekview and High School updated staff handbooks. It's recommended that they be approved.
Any questions on those? Not any motion to accept them.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassner.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Item 12 is a contract recommendation between the Board of Education and an agreement with Memorial Hospital of Union County to provide an athletic trainer for the high school. We've done this for 15 plus years at this point. It's a good service for us, otherwise we would have to provide this on staff. We provided in cooperation. The hospital is great relationship back and forth. So,
do they ever get residents at their hospital that do you know that then they might perform those services too? Resident doctors, at Riverside, they'll go to the Columbus City Schools.
They have some what do they call them, mentors, mentoring arrangements. I think it's the same kind of deal. Not necessarily more in training, more in the athletic training side than the resident, but we've had some residents also that have been primarily there with Dr. Applegate. You know, we're kind of there because Dr. Applegate serves as kind of our doctor of record.
Do you typically get the same? I look like there's a lot of hours that they're required to be around. Do you get typically the same person?
We have the same person.
Same person.
Yep. The same person's done it for a lot. I think all the years except for one thing.
All the years I've been here. Any other questions? No. I move we accept the contract with the Union County Memorial Hospital.
Second.
Moving second. Roll call.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lansing.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 13 are staff resignations. We have three resignations there that I would recommend. The first two will be replaced, the resignation of the building aide at Edgewood. That position is not being replaced.
They're going to be replaced upcoming?
No.
Not today, I meant like.
No. We're just going to not fill that position.
No, not that one, A and B.
A and B will be replaced.
Crossing guards.
Yeah. Town leaders.
And sack staff.
Bye-bye.
The latchkey one is really on an as-me basis anyway, so that one just kind of depends on the number of kids we have in that. But that would be one that we would replace if we have the number of kids back.
Right.
I move we accept the staff resignations.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lane.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yeah.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Last
year.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 14 is supplemental contract resignation. We have a supplemental resignation that's been submitted, and I recommend that it be approved.
So you're not going to have anybody fill that 10th time in there?
I don't know yet. We'll see.
Okay. So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call.
Mr.
Mady. Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassie.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
The deal with the weight room supervisor and the reason we have them in there is just for like holidays, not just anything else.
Right.
Those kids get in there, and typically Chris did the softball portion of that, so they would oversee that. So we'll probably have that position still, but I'll wait and see where we are on that. Item 15, leave of absence. We have two requests for leave of absence there. Leaves, and I would recommend that they be approved. Those are unpaid leaves.
So moved.
Oh, second.
I'm sorry. You got a question?
Well, I was just going to ask, since we don't have guaranteed subs this year, that's just going to be a...
Those will be full of subs.
Okay. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Mabry.
Yes.
Mr. Lawson.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 16, our employment of district staff. It's my recommendation that these be approved. You have five bus drivers, four of which served as subs most of the year last year, and those routes are being retained as full-time routes. We have one bus driver there that's being retained in for retirement. And then you have your... head cook at Creekview, which is a replacement in our ESL tutor, which is on an as-needed basis. She works about 20 hours a week, and you could probably use her 80 hours, actually, with the number of ESL kids that are here.
Now,
some significant needs.
If I understood what you said right the last time, since those routes became permanent, we had to have a permanent driver on them. That's correct?
No, they were routes anyway. I mean, we're still down six routes.
Right.
From where we once were. So, but, I mean, they really need, because they are permanent routes, they by law, they need to be full-time.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Correct.
Right.
I mean, you could run them on a part-time basis for a while, but you probably...
Wreaks havoc.
Probably shouldn't do it too much.
No. I was just clarifying what you said.
You know, on the hourly side, the classified side, you just run up against the wage and hour folks, and you have to pay attention to that. I mean, we did that as long as we could, but we really need to do it right.
Gotcha.
And make it right by those people.
This would get so moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 17, an employee summer school staff. This is kind of backwards, but there were some folks that were left off the summer school, where we had a few more kids, and then we had some folks that came in and helped. So these are four that we need to approve, kind of backwards, but we need to get them paid. They did the work.
We invited more kids.
Yeah, we did.
Now, is that still the fees paid?
Fee-based, yeah. I mean, we probably pick up a little bit of that, but not very much of it.
Sure.
It just kind of depends, especially on the proficiency test side where we have kids coming in for the purpose of doing the proficiency test. We probably provide more hours there than what we're actually subsidized. But the flip side of that, we want that kid to come in and graduate.
Definitely.
So.
Yeah.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second.
Mr. Mayne.
Yes.
Freundberg.
Yes.
Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carried.
Item 18, classified staff contracts. All these folks are eligible for two-year contracts. And it's my recommendation that they be approved.
Any questions on that? I see some furrowed brows.
I was thinking, but I didn't have an opportunity to look. Didn't we just do a contract for Laura Hayes? Just within the past couple of months.
Probably in the spring. It's been a while back, but I'm not sure exactly when that was.
It just seemed like we just did one too. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I didn't have a chance to go back and look.
She would have been eligible.
Still eligible?
She's still eligible for a two-year.
Okay. Any other questions?
She may be a sub, actually, in another classification. Come to think of it. I don't know. I have to think about that. I'll look at it, and I'll let you know.
I could be misremembering.
Yeah.
Really?
It wasn't one of the ones that made comment about your IQ.
That was bad. I move we accept the classified staff contract recommendation.
Second. Moved and second. I'll call for it.
Mr. Fraser.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 19 is more of a housekeeping issue, but Laurel of France is going to share the mock trial program. Therefore, we had hired her as a full-time, so you'll see her in item 20 also as sharing the dollars instead of being fully charged with that full-time contract. So I ask you to rescind the contract that we provided her before.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Gordon.
Yes.
Fraker?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Passing them out, taking them back.
Yes.
Motion
carries. Item 20 are supplemental contracts. Outlined below are specific recommendations related to the employment of certificated and non-certificated individuals for supplemental positions on an as-needed basis for the 10-11 school year.
What's the group? Can you explain that? Is that, I'm assuming it hasn't.
I'm sorry, the what?
At this column, it says group, it says flat, and then it has a number.
Well, it would be the group assigned. We have the flat, yeah, it's from our supplemental pay salary schedule. The flat rate is just for department chairs.
Sure.
There's no step for it, right?
There's no step. It's just a flat, but it could be by the people that they're responsible for. They get so many dollars for each person that's inside that department.
So that would be why some are more fee. Than others?
Correct. Bigger department, more dollars.
I see.
More things to supervise and more budgets to oversee.
Oh, that's right. I know. I'm calling the group now.
And then your others, your step 9, step 6 goes up to step 1. Step 9 up through step 1 of the supplemental salary schedule. Step 9 would, I think, is the lowest of the, it wouldn't be, I think there are more steps than that, actually. I think there are 12, actually, within the supplemental contract. But step 9 would just refer to the actual placement and then the number of years of experience that they would have within that placement.
Well, step 9's got to be the top, because if this guy's got 20 years of experience, Dick Smith.
20 years? Well, yeah, we don't pay to the 20 years.
That's what I mean, so 9's got to be the top.
No, that would be the category. Group is the category.
Oh, group 9, okay.
The other ones,
I got you. See, that new format, it still throws us off, right?
Is there any other questions? If not, I move we accept the supplemental contracts.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Feinberg?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Item 21, classified or district substitutes and home instructors, again, on an as-needed basis. You'll see in there also the crossing guards. Yeah.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. No call, please.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mr. Ferdinand?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Item 22, student teachers. We have a couple there. I think there are four there that are student teaching. We'd like to recognize them for a couple different reasons, for you to recognize that they are here and also for liability purposes.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call.
Mr. Feinberg?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr.
Mabee? Yes.
Item 23, district volunteers. Again, we do the same thing here from a liability standpoint. We recognize these folks, but also put them on our liability insurance. They are working strictly with volunteers.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mr. Feinberg?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 24, student overnight trips. Most of these are FFA trips for VAS. It just shows the breadth of their program and their involvement. And then you have the sixth grade camp this year also to a camp that's a tad closer than where they've been going in the past.
Yeah, no more issues with camp this year?
With or without?
Exactly.
Beds of the bug?
I hope so. We didn't go.
Well, you didn't go.
Huh? Any motion to accept that?
So moved.
Second.
Moving second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Feinberg?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes. Motion carries.
Item 25 is a fundraiser for Northwood. It's a fall fundraiser for their PTO.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Feinberg?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 26, donations to the district. We have school supplies donated from United Way to various families at Navin and also at Creekview.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Like Mrs. Greer? Donations.
Yes.
And Mr. Lester?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. And the streak lives on. Okay, if that's all the business we have, we are going to move into executive session. At this point, there'll be no business taken care of after we get out of executive session. So I need a motion to move into executive session.
Second.
And a move in a second. Roll.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mr. Feinberg?
Yes.
And Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Okay, we are in executive session at 8:40.
Okay, well, we're not looking at your watch.
My watch is really urgent here.